The 2018 point in time count was released earlier this week. Cities and counties across the country carried out the federally mandated survey of homeless people living on the streets during a single night in January. In Hawaii, the count showed a 9% decrease in homeless statewide, with similar decreases in many neighborhoods. James Koshiba is a researcher and consultant who works with homeless issues, and he says that the point in time count isn't telling the whole story.
The point in time count is something that happens across the country on one night of the year, and it's intended to be a full accounting of the homeless population in a city on that particular day. In Hawaii, we do it a little bit differently. It happens over the course of several days, starting on the same day that it's happening around the country.
And so the result of this count is used to really drive homeless policy across the board, right?
Right. It's used for a variety of purposes, including establishing federal funding levels, depending on how many homeless people you have per capita in your city. And it's also used as a gauge of progress and to make other policy determinations locally.
And so the results of the 2018 count are in. The count itself took place in January. And we saw decreases across the board, meaning that fewer homeless people were identified in communities across Hawaii, including urban Honolulu, than in 2017. But in Honolulu, at least, if you walk around on the streets, it does not feel like we have fewer people living on the street. Is this an effective tool? Are we getting an accurate measure of the problem?
Yeah, I think that there are some really good reasons not to use the PIT count as our primary measure of how much progress we're making on homelessness here in Hawaii, and especially the PIT count as it was conducted this year. There were some conditions that were different this year than in past years that I think raised some questions about the credibility of that number and reliability of that number. And I'll just name a couple of things that stood out to me. One is that in past years, the city and county of Honolulu has suspended sweeps and enforcement actions that kind of disrupt people and move them out of parks and out of encampments in the days and weeks leading up to the point in time count, because they knew that those enforcement actions might scatter people and make them harder to count. This year, they did not suspend those sweeps. And so sweeps were happening in the weeks and days, and in fact, right up to the day of the point in time count itself, which had the effect of making people harder to find. It pushed people into more remote areas. And the other thing it did was it made people, even if we could find them, it made them, many people, reluctant to come out and engage with the people who were doing the survey on the nights of the count.
So do you think the problem is getting better or worse or staying the same here?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, and I think that's the key point, is that I'm not sure that we can rely on the PIT count numbers to determine whether we're doing better. Another thing that was different this year about the count was we had about half the number of volunteers doing the counting as we had last year. And even last year, it was reported that we were understaffed and not able to get the full coverage that we wanted. So with half the volunteers and sweeps happening right up to the day of the count itself, it's hard to imagine how we can get an accurate count with people scattered, more reluctant to talk to counters, and then fewer counters there overall.
Is the method by which the count is conducted, does it change over time? Does it evolve? I mean, just say in the last 5 years, there's been a lot of development in town. People are living in different neighborhoods. Are the nonprofits that are doing this work adapting to changing realities within the homeless population?
You know, I think a lot of what the methodology of the count is actually determined by federal guidelines and federal rules. And so there's not a lot of flexibility on that. But the thing we can control are things like when sweeps happen, and you know, making sure that we set the conditions right for the count to be accurate. Now, all that said, even if the conditions are perfect, the count, the one-day count, or in the case of Hawaii, the count taken over the course of a couple days, is not the best way to measure progress. We have better measures of progress now available to us. For the last several years, the state and social services providers have been working really hard to set up a coordinated entry system, standard data collection, So we have good data on how many people are sort of newly on the street and newly being taken into our social services system, and then how many homeless people are being placed into permanent housing and are still housed after 12 months' time, which I think is a key measure of success. Not temporarily placed in shelter for 90 days, not placed in transitional housing for 90 days, not placed in a housing, in a permanent housing, but then they're back on the street after 6 months because they can't sustain their housing. But how many people are placed and stay there a year or more? And because we have those numbers, that's a great measure of progress. We can actually see how many new people are showing up on the street and how many people are we successfully getting off the street. Those are the numbers we should be looking at.
So it sounds like the point in time count we don't need to do away with it, but it's an incomplete tool or an incomplete metric.
Yeah, it's one measure. It's a federal requirement. It's not the best for measuring our progress over time.
And so if you could make a recommendation to policymakers, what would you say is the best way or ways to measure the homeless population?
Yeah, I think going back to the inflows and outflows, you know, I mean, I think it's great that we've invested time and energy to create a data system that captures data from people at the point where they come onto the street or they newly enter our systems as a homeless individual, identified as a homeless individual. And then we now have good data developing on when they exit and whether they're placed in housing, which is the ultimate goal.
So moving beyond just the count specifically, how can we address this problem better and maybe more holistically?
Yeah, you know, I guess going back to the point about sweeps happening up to the day of the count itself, most of my work as a researcher has been spending time on the street with homeless individuals. And I've talked to, you know, probably a couple of hundred homeless folks over the course of the last several years. And in the course of that work, it's become really clear to me how the sweeps are costly and counterproductive. And I really think we need to rethink that part of our strategy for dealing with homelessness. And the sweeps are costly in ways that may not dawn on people that aren't familiar with sort of the effects of a sweep. There's, of course, the direct cost of the sweep, which can run into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, depending on the scale of the sweep. But then there's a bunch of follow-on costs that come with that. So, for example, during the course of enforcement actions, homeless individuals will rack up citations for things like violating the sit-lay ban or trespassing or being in the park after hours. They can't pay the fines associated with those citations, and so they have to go to court. If they miss a court date, they get a bench warrant. And once there's a bench warrant out, then the next time there's a sweep, or they encounter a law enforcement officer, they're arrested and they go to jail. Now, that chain of events puts a financial burden on our court system, on our criminal justice system, on our jails, at enormous expense to taxpayers. It costs about $140 per day to keep somebody incarcerated. And that's a direct effect of the continued enforcement action. There are a lot of people on the street who rack up, you know, 12 or more citations over the course of a few months and find themselves in and out of jail repeatedly. The other costs that are not as obvious as that, in the course of a sweep, it's common for people to lose their ID or vital records. They have to reapply then for basic benefits, including to be eligible for housing or any kind of temporary assistance, food stamps or welfare that's designed to get them back up on their feet. That translates into a greater burden on our social services providers and our state systems, which have to then reprocess people over and over again to make sure they're eligible for these benefits. There's a long-term cost to all of this because when you sweep people, it may provide temporary relief to the neighborhood or the business or the hotel that wanted those people out. But when they move to a new place, and they will move to a new place because there are reasons why people avoid going to shelters even after a sweep. When they move to a new place, they're in worse physical and mental health. They're not around people that they trust necessarily. And it's harder to find them. It's harder to connect them with social services and housing. I mean, I've heard firsthand accounts of people who have been on the street and knew somebody who had become eligible for a housing voucher. In the meantime, they were swept. So when the social worker came out to deliver the housing voucher or notify them that they had come up for housing, they were gone and couldn't be found. So that opportunity expired, and it had to go to somebody else.
So how can we do it better? I think as a society, we've all decided that we don't want people living on the street and that it's not good for any community. And yet you're saying the enforcement actions are not productive and they're costly. How can we do it better than sweeping and the current policy?
Well, I think the first thing is that we should be directing all of those resources that we're devoting to enforcement. And I'm not saying enforcement isn't necessary in some situations, but we should be using it much more selectively than we are. And we should be taking the resources that are going into all that enforcement action right now and putting into permanent housing solutions for people.
And it feels in a lot of ways like we're at an impasse because we've said we don't, the city does not want to criminalize homelessness. We don't want to send people to jail. And you've laid out the reasons why that doesn't make financial sense. And yet there are a large percentage of the homeless community does not want to receive services. And you laid out some of the reasons for that, flaws with the shelter system. So where does that leave us?
Well, I would say a couple things. One is I think most people on the street do want services. But common reasons you'll hear why people don't go into shelters, and it's important to understand that most people that are out on the street today, especially on Oahu, have been through the shelter system at least once, if not more than once. And among the common reasons you hear why people don't go back to the shelters is, number one, they're temporary. So you have up to 90 days. If you aren't kicked out for a rule violation, once your 90 days is up, you're back out on the street, and you're often in a worse situation than you were before because you have none of the relationships that kept you safe. You had to leave all your things behind. Other common reasons are shelters. Some of the shelters have bed bugs. Some people have had experiences that leave them feeling like they're not safe. They can't secure their belongings in a shelter. And many shelters have rules where you have to be out during the daytime hours. You have to be out of the shelter between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. And so all those factors combined make the shelters sometimes a less stable, less secure, less safe option than being on the street with people with whom you've built relationships.
The city housing director, city and county of Honolulu housing director Mark Alexander told me a few weeks ago that on any given sweep or enforcement action, if they get 5 to 10% of the people in a particular homeless community to accept services, that's doing really well. That seems kind of unsustainable, or it seems like it's not really going to address the situation. Are the problems that you've outlined behind that very low rate of acceptance?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're hitting on a broader theme, which is that, you know, the first step to helping somebody or for somebody making progress in their life is having a trusting relationship with someone that can provide that assistance. And the way we're going about this right now, including the sweeps, the criminalization of homelessness-related behaviors, and just the fact that our social services and shelter system is under such strain itself, I mean, it's stretched really thin, it makes it really hard to build those human-to-human trusting relationships. And that is the fundamental building block of anybody getting better in life. I mean, housed or houseless, we know that the way we make progress in our life is through healthy relationships with other people. It's the thing that gives us a sense of security, of purpose, of stability in our lives. And right now, our approach is creating a situation where it's really difficult to build those trusting relationships. And often when people have found those relationships on the street, we disrupt them.
That was our producer, Ryan Finnerty, talking with James Koshiba, a local researcher and consultant who specializes in homeless issues. Koshiba works with homeless individuals and community organizations to improve outcomes in homeless policy. You can find a link to the 2018 Point in Time Count on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.